Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our 11th episode. We are so glad to have you here.
Hey, dinner's ready.
Mom, I'm trying to record. Hey guys, welcome back to The Production Specialist, a podcast series of personal accounts from individuals and companies in emerging and frontier production industries. I'm Lorenzo, and I'll be your host. A little-known director named George Lucas once said, "Sound is 50% of the entertainment in a movie." How much do you agree with this? Well, whatever your answer is, in this episode, we will talk all things sound design. You may think sound design is just creating cool sounding effects, but there's a lot more to it. On this episode, we speak with Vanessa Flores, a sound designer from Orange County, California. She currently works at Banana Post in LA. Welcome to the show, Vanessa.
I was really into music as a kid and then also really just into film in general. Storytelling, I loved it. But I didn't really know where I wanted to go or what I wanted to do. I just knew I had these passions. How do I fulfill them? I was also really into video editing and all that stuff, you know, because I grew up with YouTube, with the rise of YouTube. So I was making my, you know, my little cool AMVs or just stupid skits and uploading it on the internet. I knew I wanted to be in that creative space, but wasn't sure how. So I just went to my local community college right after high school and I took some film classes and they make you do like the entire thing, you know, make your own film. And so you're part of the entire process. And I love post sound the best. So I just kind of kept experimenting with it and then just kind of went full stop into it. My first official start was that I was part of a bridged group, like a bridge series, which is, if you don't know what that is, it's like people take animes or just any animated series and you redub it and make it funny or make it whatever. And so I'm a huge fan of Avatar. So I did one for Legend of Korra and it got some popularity. So I was doing that and just the editing and also the sound to that. And the cool part is that you get to like redesign all the stuff and you get to like edit all the voiceover and everybody has like shitty, you know, shitty VO recordings, you know? And so you try to make it as clean as you possibly can. And I just really loved it. And I really loved the Legend of Korra community or Avatar community. And so our production value just kept getting, you know, better and better and better. And that simultaneously, I was going to Musicians Institute in Hollywood for their audio engineering program. So I just kept getting better. And so right after that, I graduated. I was kind of like, well, where's the jobs? I don't know where to go from here. And so I kind of like just wasted time like, oh, I have to improve this or I have to improve that. Or let me start learning game audio for some reason. You know, then I kind of fell on tough times when my dad was diagnosed with cancer after his passing and just kind of getting the family together and recouping from that. You know, I was like, I don't want to give up on this. I feel like I've been sidetracked. So let me give it like one honest last shot. And so I did. And so like in 2019, I was like, all right, let me just start applying to like freelance gigs. I don't care if they're paid, unpaid. I want to work on something. I want to collaborate to prove to myself that I can do it. And it's not just something I've been like making a hobby. And yeah, it worked. I just was just applying to any local or remote gig that would take me. And you just build a referral network from there and your clientele base keeps growing and then your skills keep growing. And then it just eventually snowballs. And then here I am.
Being inspired by all sorts of YouTubers, Vanessa tried to incorporate social media into her branding. She would try to engage with people on Instagram and enjoyed giving people feedback on their work. But it wasn't until she decided to create her own profile all about sound design. She eventually blew up and ended up growing her business.
The funny thing is that I was experiencing like social media and community building with like all these other like fan pages or like with a bridge series, you know, just building up community, building up marketing on social media to, you know, have more eyeballs on you. So I was familiar with that. I just never like intended it to be with my profession. What actually ended up happening was that I'm a big fan of Peter McKinnon. I'm not sure if you know about him. He's like a YouTuber. He's all about videography and photography. And I just find it fascinating and cool. I suck with it. I still don't know how to set up, you know, a three light system or anything like that, you know, but I just find it fascinating to watch. He did a collaboration video with Daniel Schiffer, and it was this crazy, cool, cinematic coffee B-roll. And it was the first time I've seen anything like that. And I was just so blown away of like, oh, that's like an art form pretty much. And I just looked up on Instagram, you know, the hashtag B-roll. And then I was seeing all these other people making their own kind of Daniel Schiffer inspired stuff. And so I was just engaging with them, commenting like, man, that was really cool. It would have been awesome if you like had the transition a little bit, you know, shorter, longer, whatever, just giving feedback. And I just did that for like, I don't know, I was bored one day. And so I did that for like that entire day. And after that, I had like 100 followers. And I'm like, oh, this is something. It was with my personal account back then. And so I'm like, well, let me separate it. Let me make one audio account that just kind of is like a portfolio to showcase like what I've done. And then maybe that can be more work. This was like the height of the pandemic. So I was thinking, okay, like no studios are hiring. Freelance work is going to be really hard. So I'm going to have to find a different avenue. And so that's how like Vonny Audio came to be. But it blew up, like it just went viral, you know, immediately. And so at the same time, you know, in June of last year, I landed, you know, my full-time gig at Banana Post. And so I didn't really need it for work anymore, but I still love the like the community and just talking to all these other people. So then I focused doing what I was already good at is community building, you know, and just talking about what I do and how I do it, because I realized, well, yeah, no one's doing this in my profession and the way that I am doing it in terms of like a content creator, not just like writing articles, you know, on, you know, Pro Sound Effects or a soundeffect.com. Like that's really all there was to learn more about this. And then you have like the occasional YouTube video and then they'll go dark for 5 years. So I wanted to, you know, make something consistent and bring that social media experience back into it.
Did you get more work directly from it?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that I have a non-compete at my job. So I was turning down a lot of stuff. I get inquiries pretty much every week of people like, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? And I'm like, no, I can't. I'm sorry. Like bigger budgeted stuff, I would like channel it through Banana. I'm thankful to my boss. We allow that kind of open communication and allow for something like that. But for stuff like this is either going to take way too much time from here or it's just too low budget. Like I feel like I'm already past that point in my career. But then I would make a referral system on LinkedIn and just say, hey, here's a job opening. People would apply for it and I just send them, you know, the email. So then they don't have to make the job posting and filter in like 200 applicants. I've kind of already filtered it down to, you know, a select few and then, or just reach out to people I think would be perfect for it immediately.
Yeah. I'm a part of that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But yeah, that's just my way of giving back.
If you do have interest in working in sound design, consider connecting or following Vanessa on LinkedIn. She's always posting jobs. You can apply directly through her. And you heard it from myself. I'm taking advantage of it too. All right. Now to the sound design portion. Like I was saying, there's a lot more to it than just fancy sound effects. I'll let Vanessa explain.
Oh man. So there's two ways to describe sound design. It's in its true role in terms of the post-production workflow, which is anyone, sound design is designing unique sounds to something that's either not in reality, like a lightsaber, you know, that's not something we can just go out and record, or enhancing an existing sound. So sound design is the entire film sound process, because designing sound is does not mean just creating unique sounds, sound effects. It's, you know, designing the soundscape and the feel and the tonality of a certain film and how things ebbs and flows and what do we pay attention to or what do we want the audience member to pay attention to. All the whole entire process is part of that sound design. You can't really pigeonhole yourself too much. All of it is very interchangeable and, you know, Foley artists can be very like sound design heavy because they're trying to come up with, you know, ways to create sound for a thing. Like I'm thinking the movie A Bug's Life. We can't go out and record bugs, you know, and the extent of like, here's their little wings flapping. Here's, you know, this, here's, you know, here's this, you know, this, like the a worm, you know, this is how that would sound like. No, they're not going to make sound. It's too small. And so we come up with the soundscape, you know, and that's the Foley artist's job, because it's technically doing a Foley act, you know, in terms of walking or interacting with objects. So all part of it is sound design.
Sound designers only have a limited range of auditory space that they can work with. Humans have an auditory frequency range from 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. Within this limited space, a sound designer must carefully choose their sound to fill the space and make sure frequencies work together.
What would you do, say, a scene gets recorded, say, in a city?
All right, what kind of city is this? Is it hustle bustle? Is it day or night? Is it, you know?
Let's say New York City at night.
New York City at night. Okay. I guess it also depends on the genre. Is it like a kind of, huh?
Let's say action.
Action. Okay. Okay. Sirens. That's going to be my immediate thing. And for action, we're going to send you immediately into unsettling, like there's going to be a chase scene, you know, and that's what sirens usually do. If it's an overhead shot at night, we're going to focus on either the traffic or, you know, the sirens, things like that. Trains maybe passing by, a helicopter, if you want to, you know, not go the siren, cliche siren route, maybe make a helicopter sound. And you really want the hustle and bustle of the city. And then usually those are like the establishing shots. You get deeper in, you definitely want to focus on, if something like New York City, it's at night. Is it a Friday night, you know, kind of thing? Maybe it's busy. Maybe there's pedestrians walking around. Maybe you hear, you know, some music from the local, you know, bodega just blaring, you know, corridos. I don't know. So, like, what is, you know, there's so many ways you could just give character to this certain community. Like, a good example, if you want, like, New York City, not so much night, is, like, something like In the Heights. That's a recent movie, right? If you really listen, you know, in the background, there's just so much character going on because it's this centralized Latino community. And so they do stuff like that. They have these common familiar sounds. If you grew up in that kind of neighborhood of, you know, the ice cream man, you know, pedaling his cart down the stuff, you know, it's so cool because you could just really create a soundscape. But for like a night action movie scene, I feel like that's always the go-to.
Sirens and trains. I like it.
Sirens and trains. Yeah, you want to feel chased.
All right. I just got tasked to create the sound for a sniper scene. Let me insert the gunshot here. Hey, you sure this isn't a Pelican recording? Believe it or not, this is what actual guns sound like. Puny and kind of lame.
What are some sound design tricks that are used to spice up a sound? Say for a gunshot. Gunshot doesn't sound like much.
Well, it depends. If you're doing the processing of a gunshot sound, and it depends on how the gunshot was recorded, you have these multiple different perspectives. If you're miking it correctly, one that's far away, one that's up close, one that's this direction, that direction. And you're going to probably compress all of them and layer all of them as much as you could and focus on these different tonalities to make it sound bigger than it is. But let's just say, like, you have this gunshot and yeah, sure, it sounds dope, but like we want to add something more to it. What if it's a slow-mo gunshot sound? Well, now you got to focus on, you know, you can't really just slow it down. It's not going to sound like great. So maybe get thunder in there, maybe get an explosion in there, maybe get this and just keep, you know, roll off the high end. Maybe you want not a slow down, but like a slow performance of all the mechanics in that gun as it's, you know, being shot. So you want to focus on like the bullet or the bullet casing or the trigger, all these things that can make up a gunshot or gun firing for a slow-mo sequence. And you can go crazy with it just depending on, you know, what the scene calls for. I feel like a lot of people make the mistake of, well, I need to find a high sound and I need to find a mid sound and I need to find a low sound. Like, not necessarily. You just got to make sure those layers have those sounds. And are they coming in the way you want them to? Not all that, like, let's say you have the slow-mo gunshot sound, you do still want some high frequency in there because you don't want to just be completely like muffled and all that stuff. So like you want to find elements that would be in the more high and registry, like the mechanics of this gun, you know, and the slow performance, still rolling off maybe some of the high end, but it still has that high tonality to it. And maybe you don't want to focus on the low end so much because it's going to get all like lost in translation, you know, for like these slow-mo sequences. So maybe you have like one kind of sub element in there, but you focus more on the mids so that it still has that punch. But it's cool if you're thinking like I'm missing something, definitely look at the frequency spectrum. See if like there's just something you're missing, a hole you want to, you know, put in and it'll pack a punch. But it's not just, you know, the frequency spectrum. It's your transients. It's, you know, the pitch, whatever it may be. How does it carry? How does it sound?
So stacking layers, what exactly does that mean? So normally when you're recording gunshots and other things, like Vanessa said, you would want different perspectives. One close, one far, etc. But by adding different elements such as a trigger pull, gun mechanics, multiple gunshots, an explosion, a bullet casing drop, you will get something that used to be just one single raw recording that is now 10 or more different sounds combined to create this. Not so puny anymore, huh? Talking sound with a director is not so straightforward. Unlike, say, cinematography or production design, there's no sketch to draw or a photo collage to assemble.
Yeah, see, I take the approach, use whatever language they're using, even if it's weird, even if that's not what you describe it, because it's going to be so much harder to correct them and they're going to be really frustrated about it. So if they're saying like, well, I want this to feel more purple, and you're like, what the hell does purple mean? You know, well, you know, just use some leading words like, oh, like maybe we want like a little bit more ambience, you know, in this thing or whatever that scene may be. And you'll have that kind of, and once you lock that down, have that conversation with them. Keep that purple in your registry vocabulary, I guess, with that director, because he might say like, oh, I don't know, I need something like, oh, like a little bit more purple, right? He's like, yeah, like that. And then you're referencing that one scene you already did before, and you already have that lingo with them. They're gonna love you so much more if you just stick to how they say things. There's a time and a place when you want to correct them about terminology, but you should just stick to what they know, because it's just a better relationship that way. A lot of this comes up when we're in the review, the in-person review and going over everything. We would have some back and forth. If I'm suggesting things, I use my own terminology. But if they're suggesting things, I try to stick with theirs. I remember I had one director who said, like, I want to burp it in. I'm like, what does burp it in mean? And it just meant fade. You know, I don't know why. So, like, You kind of stick with it, and you use, you know, your terminology when you're trying to describe things, you know, as best as you can and describe it to them. But they have fun when they get to use their own words and you just roll with it. Like, for instance, I had one in-person, you know, review session, and they're like, oh, it needs more, you know, oomph. Let's add more bass. Let's add more this. And I'm like, well, it already has a lot of bass, and it's also competing with like the music right now. Let's try some more transient stuff. And I just kind of show them, you know, this is what, you know, it would sound like. And they're like, oh yeah, that sounds better. That sounds a lot better, actually. And so those are the kind of the things you want to just guide and correct them on when it actually comes to what's in the mix. When it comes to terminology, just stick to what they know.
Many sounds have become iconic throughout the history of film. The T-Rex scream from Jurassic Park. The lightsaber sound from Star Wars. And Spider-Man's web shooter. Funny story about the web shooter. When I worked on the sound design for Joey Lever's Spider-Man fan film, there were a couple places where I had some tough times. That web shooter proved to be a real challenge. I had told my girlfriend that this sound was driving me crazy, and she responded with this. Yep, you guessed it. It was the main sound used in the sound effect and for the movie. Filmmakers and directors, listen up. Vanessa has a few words about sound for your film.
Definitely include it much more like early on. Just right now, I'm working on a very cool reboot of Legends of the Hidden Temple, and it has iconic sounds, it has its own thing. And so they came up to me after the fact saying, oh, we want sound design for all these like in-game elements. And they didn't really like some of the stuff they had that was playing on set, but they're kind of stuck with it because now people are talking over it and all this other stuff. So if they would have came to, you know, me sooner and or just the sound design sooner and say, we want these elements playing in our game show that, you know, plays when certain actions are being taken, then they would have just liked the end product much more, you know, and included that, you know. And then it really helps too, because then when we come into the post, you know, scene, we're having to sync our new sound design, you know, assets to it. So it's just much more time on our part. So just being part of that, the process early on, and just talking to a sound designer or just the post sound team in general. I would also say another thing, maybe not so much with directors, but I feel like this should happen, be more commonplace, is the production sound recordist in communication with, you know, the post sound supervisor, just post in general, because you would learn a lot from each other if we were just to say, hey, here's all the mistakes, here's everything that happened that just could not work, you know. And when it came to post, they would know that for next time. They will never, you know, though, at least to the best of their ability, never try to repeat those mistakes again. Or like them saying, like, we really loved, you know, this specific waterfall that they were next to. We really can't capture the tonality of it, but we don't have much in the recordings. You know, they could have recorded, you know, that waterfall in their own time while they were setting up, you know, things like that. Like, you would have much natural sound, all these wild sound. I would say the number one thing, if any director's listening, the number one thing you could do that would immediately be a game changer is if you have dialogue fill, not unlike the wild dialogue feel. The best way to do it is if you're, you know, recording a take and you know you do the and cut, just say and everyone's holding their breath, they're waiting, they have the perfect shot, they're not going to say anything, they're waiting for the director to put cut. Just like make it at least a, you know, a second and cut. That's your dialogue fill. We're going to use it when we're doing our dialogue editing. If we got like multiple stuff of that, it's a game changer. We have like cool stuff like, you know, Isotope RX's Ambiumanch that tries to do that. Or we got things like Undertone, you know, but nothing beats the natural sound of it. And so if we had something like that, we wouldn't need ADR sometimes. So that's the number one thing you could do.
So when you're designing different sounds, just have fun with it. I'll leave you with one more sound effect, an energy blast, created with my voice and a little processing. Some time stretching for some slow motion. Now, just a bit of processing. Now just a quick synth. One last thing. And then all put together. Vanessa, it was awesome to have you on the show. If you're a sound designer and wanting to learn more, I highly suggest checking out her Instagram page at vanny.audio. Her stuff has literally made my life easier. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe. We're posting weekly content now, including weekly news summaries of all things production. Take care and talk soon.